one of the greatest pleasures in life is to sit down on a favorite chair and curl up with a good book. To lose ourselves in a world that the author has created for us. We get caught up with the characters, with the plot, and the changing scenes. Now, those of us of a particular age can remember there was a time when the only way you could read a book was to actually hold it in your hands. That was the day before those electronic devices. Actually, many people discovered this church because of our bookstore and our library. They were looking for a particular book, and because of the Yellow Pages or perhaps word of mouth, they found us. Now, there are those who tell us that books are passé. They point out the fact that many bookstores are no longer in business. We are reminded that people lead very busy lives. They are way too involved with their own story, writing their plot, creating their characters, and rearranging their changing scenes. Now, some books are merely meant to inform. There is really no story associated with them. And we are told if we are simply looking for information, it is no longer necessary to consult a printed manual or a how-to book. Everything we need to know is available online, discovered by the click of a mouse. But I have also noticed that when I ride the bus or stand somewhere in line, people are still reading books, either in their hand or on their electronic devices. Clearly, the written word still continues to draw us in. Something in us still wants to get caught up in a story and visit the world that the author has created for us. The imagination. It is a wonderful thing. It is our imagination that allows us to get caught up in the story and visit the author's world. In our mind's eye, we are there, and the adventure begins. Actually, I think our love of reading is something that was instilled in us as little children. Early childhood memories include reading those little golden books or other favorite children's classics. I think that the most popular books are the ones that introduced us to magic, to the idea that somehow we could give a command and a genie would appear to grant our wish. Or perhaps our adventures involved the Arabian Nights. Maybe we found us searching in those caves or dungeons with Nancy Drew or the Hardy Boys. Whatever it was magic, and we got caught up in it. Now, whether it was magic or adventure, the goal was to discover what was hidden and have it revealed. In the case of magic, we would use the verbal commands, open sesame, or perhaps abracadabra, to demand that secrets be revealed. In the case of adventure, we approached it as a mystery. We become detectives, trying to flesh out the secrets with our intellect and with our understanding. And as we dig deeper, the story unfolds. What is hidden, it shall be revealed. We carry these childhood memories with us into adulthood. We remember the thrill of a good mystery or the anticipation of discovering what was behind that door or what was hidden in the cave. And in our time of contemplation, we consider how wonderful it would be if we could somehow give the command, which would be equivalent to open sesame, and the door would open, revealing the right answer, the correct solution, the perfect healing. Wouldn't it be wonderful if this could happen just by speaking the necessary word? But just how would this work? If we were to issue the command that is equivalent to open sesame, to whom or to what would we direct it? We intuitively feel that it is possible for us to do this. We get our encouragement from the passage in the Bible that tells us, "Nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known." Now, in the children's story, the command was given to the genie, who would then appear from inside that bottle to do our bidding. In the case of adventure, the answer was revealed from inside the cave or behind the door. Clearly, the command is given to that which holds the secret, asking that which is hidden to reveal itself. Is there a certain magic in us that reveals itself? Well, let us remember the Christmas story. It speaks of the Magi, the wise men who came from the East to worship the one whose mission it was to reveal what was hidden, to reveal truth. Now, we learn that the word East refers to the within. The Magi, the wise men, they came from that place of inner wisdom that brings understanding and spiritual help to the Christ child. Intuitively, we know that that Christmas story is our story. So when we read it in the light of this new understanding, we learn of the source of wisdom in us. What was previously hid, it is now known. The command equivalent to open sesame, it is given from the heart of the one who wants to learn of himself. And it is directed to his own divine nature, to the aspect of being that knows of this self. It is consciousness of the Christ presence that allows us to do this. For we know that it is this presence that will bring us the right answer, the correct solution, and that perfect healing. But let us also notice that the Magi from within bring the riches to the Christ child and not to the human being. The human being does not know about Christ within, so there can be no attempt to call it forth and ask it to reveal itself. Human beings, they do not know of spiritual things. Even though the spiritual nature is really the truth of each one of us, it will remain hidden until we discover the necessary recognition that will call it forth. The children's story of magic required the appropriate command that would call forth the genie in the bottle. The genie was always in the bottle, but it would only come forth and reveal itself to the one who spoke the magic word. So let us talk about that magic word. First of all, let us understand that it is spoken with authority. We should know and understand the power of that word. The instruction given is, speak the word in my name, and it shall be established unto you. The recognition, I am that I am, is spoken in the consciousness of our true identity. And when we speak from that authority, what is sacred shall be made manifest, what is hid shall be made known. Speaking in this way, it requires us to take responsibility for our thoughts, for our deeds, and for our actions. Let us be aware of where it is that we do our work. Do we do our work as that man of the earth, or as that man who has his being in Christ? We open doors, or we close gates to our good, according to our belief. Faith in our belief sends it forth, manifesting the form that is compatible with our intent and our belief. When we do our asking from Christ consciousness, we believe that what will be made known will be from that place of awareness. It is well to understand how it worked in those childhood stories. When the desire was to find what was hidden behind a particular door, the command, open sesame, was directed not just to any old door, but to that door. When our desire is to learn the truth about us, the question is directed to that place that may reveal the secret. We don't just send our call out to any old place. I mean, I suppose we could ask our neighbor for his opinion. We could consult our family tree. Or we could consider our accomplishments and our achievements to learn of us. We could ask our friends and our co-workers to let us know what they think. Each of these sources would reveal something about us, but would it be true of us? In those fairy tales that we read as children, faith was overwhelming because the belief was there. The words open sesame were spoken with authority and without doubt. With this consciousness, that genie had to appear and grant the wish. Doors had to fly open and reveal their treasures. And so what was secret was made manifest, and what was hid was made known. Those adventures in the cave and the dungeons, they required persistence to discover what was there. The search was made with the belief that there was hidden treasure, and faith declared that, yes, it would be found. The seeker demanded that the cave give up its secrets. And those of us who sat in our favorite chair reading that book, we got caught up in the adventure. And we too sent out our call to know what was in that cave. Now we knew that the author had already figured it out. And all we had to do was keep on reading that book, and it would be revealed. Still, the anticipation and the excitement were there. We could not put that book down until the mystery had been solved. We would not be denied. When we wish to know the truth of us, we are directed to make our call within, to the divine self. But the question for us is, do we have faith in this self? Do we really believe that the equivalent to the command, open sesame, will actually allow the door to be opened or the wish to be granted? Are we speaking with authority of the one who knows that it is possible to do this? We will reap the result of our belief or of our unbelief. It is pretty much up to us. Jesus reminded his disciples that they could not accomplish certain things because of their unbelief. Remember, speak the word in my name, and it shall be established unto you. When we speak from Christ consciousness, nothing is withheld. So our goal is to be in that place. Now, it is not easy for us to go to this place in awareness and then stay there. We must seek it above all else. We must be persistent in our desire to know. When we found us searching that cave with the Hardy Boys, we did so from the comfort of our favorite chair. But in our mind's eye, we were in the cave, and we noticed something very interesting. The cave does not hide its secrets in the entryway. We had to go deep inside that cave to find what was of value. Along the way, we discovered bits and pieces, but we were not satisfied with just bits and pieces. And so we persevered until that cave gave up its last secret. When we first search for the truth of us, we discover bits and pieces. We may pick up a book. We may attend a Sunday service. We may join a discussion group to learn what others have discovered. We remember to recite our affirmations, and we claim that we are individualized expressions of God. Now, while all of this is very helpful, it is but the entryway to the discovery of truth. You see, truth is revealed from within us. We must go deep inside to find what is of value. We do this through meditation and the silence. Let us not be satisfied with bits and pieces. And so we persevere. As we become more aware of our divine nature, we exercise more and more dominion over what has appeared hidden, locked up, or sealed off. We roll away that stone of limitation, and yes, we find that genie within. Now, a genie is simply the one who reveals the secret, the one who hears our voice and obeys the command. When we set aside the idea of us as that man of the earth, we no longer address that self known as the man of the earth. Our call goes to the divine idea, and hearing the call, it is that self that comes forth. And so what is hidden is made manifest, what is secret is made revealed. And it is good and very good. Knowing that we have the authority to call out from within allows us to live life in a different way. How great it is to be conscious in this way, that we have understanding that our basic nature is spiritual, expressing through a body and the mind. The law of expression is what we call it, and it is known as a trinity. Melinda Kramer describes a trinity as the thinker, the thought, and the thing thought about. She tells us that the purpose of creation is that God may be made manifest, and the purpose of the individual expression is that God may be made manifest in the individual. What is secret shall be made manifest, and what is hid shall be made known through the law of expression. Really, this is how the truth of us is expressed. On Sunday morning, we claim us as the individualized expressions of God. Now, if we only believe that this is so, we can express it. And actually, it would simply be a matter of being what we truly are. We would be living not in bits and pieces, but as that conscious child of God. When we enter the kingdom of heaven, let us not be content to just stand out there in the entryway, but to enter into the gates with praise and thanksgiving. To enter into that storehouse of riches and blessings that the Magi told us were there. The wisdom in us knows of the treasure, and we should still seek it. Infinite mind gives us the power to think, but it does not compel us to think in a particular way. The line of thought is pretty much left up to us. We choose the way of glancing either upward or downward. When thought looks upon effects without any understanding, it accepts the appearance to be real. And then it makes the appearance its basis for reasoning about life. But since this reasoning is not true to life, what appears is that inharmony that we call disease. Now, disease is simply not being at ease. It may apply to the body or to the pocketbook, to relationships or to conditions. However it appears, disease is not of God. And we are advised to go beyond the appearance and give value where value is due. We may have heard it said that as a man thinketh, so is he. Melinda Kramer reminds us that as a man thinketh in his heart, so shall be his expression. Well, there we go again. We have her trinity, the thinker, the thought, and the thing thought about. We were given dominion over our thoughts. We are the thinker, so let us choose wisely. Today's lesson discovers the magic command that unlocks doors and grants wishes. The one that reveals the answer, the solution, and the perfect healing. To know us as that individualized expression of God allows us to say, I am that I am. It is this voice of recognition that calls up the presence, that then expresses the answer, the solution, and the perfect healing. In our search to discover what is sacred or hidden, let us be mindful that not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father, which art in heaven. To put it another way, only the pure in heart shall see God. So let us get caught up in our own story concerning life. It is ours. We were given dominion so that we may live in the house of the Lord forever. As we close our worship service, let us take a few moments to enter the silence and know us as God knows us. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we enter a time of stillness, we are aware that God in the midst of us is holy. Take time to be holy. Spend time with the Lord. It is in these times of contemplation that we draw near and listen. The command, "Be still and know that I am God," is spoken by the divine idea, and it is received in the receptive heart. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Keep me mindful of the divine idea that I am your child. The one who delights in the law of the Lord is like that tree planted by the rivers of water. It shall not be moved. It bears its fruit in due season, and it shall be the fruit of the Spirit. Whatever he doeth shall prosper." We were given dominion over our thoughts, actions, and deeds. God is our sufficiency. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Let us know that this is so. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.